welcome to the premiere episode of the Union University Summer Library Podcast. I'm Paul Sorrell, and joining me today are Stephen Mount and T.R. Parker. We have a great show lined up for you today, and hopefully it will be both informative and entertaining. And that's what we basically want to achieve with this podcast. There are lots of services in the library that we offer, and we want to both inform you and keep you up to date of these as well as other library happenings. So we're going to discuss things that are going on in the world around us as well, and we trust you will enjoy our show. And if you have any suggestions about items you would like us to discuss, please let us know. Lots of new things in the library to discuss today. One of those things, research guides. TR, what's going on? What is research guides?
You know, for a long time, there was a link on the library's webpage, uu.edu/library, where you could get resources by subject. And what that would do would be just to list important databases, you know, where you find journal articles and information by subject or book. So if you clicked on history, you'd get databases that were important for history, like JSTOR and then books in history. But it was very static. It didn't change very often. And so what we've gone and done is we've purchased some software, some web editing software that's really robust and dynamic. And we've changed resources by subject to research guides. And now if you go to our website and if you click that link, research guides, it takes you to these new web pages that we are developing. And they're really dynamic, ever-changing, and we can do a lot of really interesting things with them. So we're excited about it.
So what are some of the things that, will the look be different? Will it?
Yeah, the look is, you know, we tried to remain as uniform with Union's website as we could. Same color scheme, same header, things like that. But the look is very different from the old resources by subject pages. It's really neat. It's a really robust kind of way of doing things.
And is this more of an interactive type of database?
Yeah, one of the things about it is it's not just a list of databases. We have all of that there. All of that information is there. You can access any of the databases through our research guides, but also, like, for example, RSS feeds are included. So the professors here that maintain a blog, we include their RSS feeds, like, you know, automatic updates to their blogs. For example, Ray Van Nest, Professor Ray Van Nest in Theology and Missions, has a blog entitled The Oversight of Souls, and we have an RSS feed that updates all of the new posts. The Political Science Department has a blog that updates automatically to the research guide. There's also a way that you can chat with the librarian if you have any questions or need any quick answers. We have a chat widget. You just type in your chat question, and we'll try to answer it as quickly as possible. There's an easy way to schedule a research coach. There's links to really important websites. So a lot of things that are different. It's really exciting.
Are there any embedded videos or MP3s or anything like
that? Yeah, it's really easy to, I mean, it's sort of like building your own social network website, like a Facebook or something like that. It's really easy to upload photos. I've uploaded some pictures.
As a student, if I'm a student, can I upload my own pictures of things I find relevant to my subject?
No, but you can add links. I've on several of my guides, and they're not exactly, like, the thing about these guides is they're going to keep changing. So it's very easy for me right now if I have an idea, oh, I need to add that website, or I need to add that photo, or I need to add this RSS feed. I can just go do it. It takes 2 minutes to do. But one of the things I've added to some of my guides, and I want to add to all of them, are boxes where students can submit links or recommend resources. So it's very easy for if a student finds something useful, they can add it to. Of course, one of the things about what they say Web 2.0 or the internet, the way things have kind of developed, is that user-created content is sometimes more important than just things done by experts, because so much can get on there. Like, for example, Wikipedia, you know, it's not just static. It's not just one or two people writing for this or a team of 100 experts. It's the whole world. And so things are updated as soon as they happen, you know. And so it's sort of that way, like it can happen more quickly. So if students are out there and they're doing research and they find a useful source, They can actually add it to the research guide as well. So it's really neat. Yeah.
Very good. Yeah. Now, is this something that is available now or
yeah.
is it coming?
Yeah. It's going to be located at guides.uu.edu. Mm-hmm. It's really easy URL address, guides.uu.edu. But of course, if you go to the library's webpage and click on research guides, it'll take you to those pages and you can select by subject. If you're in art, if you're in music, if you're in history, if you're in pharmacy, you just click on those subjects and you'll get a comprehensive guide.
So this really should make researching maybe not easy, but a lot more convenient.
Yeah, and hopefully easier as well. For example, one of the things we do is provide all sorts of internet resources for citing sources. Mm-hmm. So, if you're citing in Turabian style, Brian Dinker over in Theology and Missions over at the Ryan Center recommended a website to me called eTurabian. Mm-hmm. A lot of us here in the library love using the OWL at Purdue, which helps you do MLA and APA citations. There's a publisher's website that's really, really helpful on using MLA, and I'm drawing a blank on what it's called right now, but it's on my research guides. So there's some really, really neat websites, and we add all of that in. Another thing it does is links directly to RefWorks.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask you about. What is RefWorks?
Yeah, RefWorks is a tool that a lot of universities have, and we're providing now here at Union through the library. And RefWorks is a way that you can easily just export your citations. So if you're in a database, like if you've ever used Academic Search Premier or even Google Scholar, I did that this morning. I found something on Google Scholar and just exported it into RefWorks. And what that does is it automatically saves all of the citation information, like the author, the publisher, the journal, the ISBN, the ISSN, and then it will create a bibliography for you when you're writing a paper.
Really?
Yes. It just generates it in a Word document. Another thing that it can do is it can help you do in-text citations. If you have a Word document open and you're writing, you can just automatically copy and paste your citations into your document using RefWorks. It's called Write and Cite, or Write and Cite. It's got the little, at the end. But it's really useful. There's a learning curve. We're actually going to be offering some workshops on RefWorks here in the library coming up soon. Stay posted about that. But RefWorks is a really, really useful tool. And another thing about it is the account will stay with you for your life. So if you're planning on going on to graduate school, if you're a teacher and you go to a different school, then you can still use your RefWorks account and have access to all of the research that you've ever done if you've stored it in RefWorks. It's a lifetime account. You don't lose it. It does not go away. You can share your references with other professors, with your peers, with other students. It's really great.
Is there any charge for this?
No, it's free. Yeah, it's provided by Union. The thing. Yeah, thanks for asking that. I had a few emails from professors and other people asking about this. A lot of our faculty have purchased their own copies of EndNote. EndNote is a tool that works a lot like RefWorks that downloads to your hard drive, so it's a download. But RefWorks is all web-based. And so rather than each professor having to spend $100 or $200 on an EndNote, on the EndNote software, had a professor email me about some other software for using an Apple, Apple products. Rather than purchasing those things, we've purchased it for the entire campus. So you just go to RefWorks.com, and it's also linked on our research guide. So go to research guides and then go to citing sources, and then you can just click right through to RefWorks, create an account. You have to be on campus the first time, but after that you can be wherever, anywhere you are in the world. You can store all your citations. It's really great. Yeah, it's really useful.
And about when in the semester do you expect there to be some training on that?
Up in February. We're trying to nail down some dates right now. I will keep you posted on that.
Okay,
trying
very
to
good.
Nail down with the campus calendar. Yeah. We're going to be teaching that. But I will say that if you have any questions about RefWorks, just schedule a research coach. It'll take me 10 minutes to kind of walk you through setting up an account and helping you to kind of learn how to import some citations and get start storing your files, and also show you how to create your bibliography. For those of you who are writing research papers this spring, it's going to be a huge help. And for those of you who are graduating this spring, you'll want to set up an account, because then you've got it if you're going on to graduate school, even in the future. It'll be really great.
Yeah, it sounds like a very nice addition to the library services that we have been offering.
Yeah, it's huge. Yeah, it's huge.
Okay, so we are at the eve of a new semester, and we've been in the January term, and we've had certain hours for January term. What is going to go on now that we're going into the spring term? And we're going to bring Stephen Mount in here, the expert at circulation hour.
And he's on the certified circulation hours expert.
So, Stephen. You are.
Yeah.
You are.
Yeah, and here's, I'll share my expertise.
Okay.
Starting on Wednesday, February 2nd, Groundhog Day, incidentally, we'll start our...
So it might happen over and over again.
It'll be the same thing over and over all semester.
No, no.
We'll start our spring term, hours. We'll be closing at 12:30 starting Wednesday. In those hours, Monday through Thursday, we're open from 7 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. Sunday, 2 to 5 in the afternoon, and 8 to 12:30. And then Saturdays, which is the same all year long, is 11 to 5.
So how many hours a week is the library open?
93 and a half hours. I just did a quick calculation in my head.
Really?
I'm also a math expert. 93 and a half hours a week.
And you're also something else this semester that you weren't last term. What would that be?
I'm also an ILL expert.
You're an interlibrary loan.
Yeah, I'm adding to my expertise. I've taken over the interlibrary loan operation.
Wow. Who was doing that before you?
I don't know, some schmuck. I believe it was you.
What is that guy doing now?
I don't know. Who knows? I think he's on the street somewhere. I don't know.
He should be.
That'll be in addition to my other areas.
That's
I'll
right.
be taking that on.
Wow, so you have a busy, busy term coming up.
Busy term.
Plus, you're going to be a new father.
That's true. March 1st is the due date.
Look at you.
Charlotte Marie.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
So lots of new things.
Lots of newness.
Just like the new things in the library, the new things in your life.
Nice segue.
Thank you. And one of the new databases that we have is the Naxos Music Library, which is a very cool library of music and all sorts of music. A lot of indie music is available in there. And it's something that, there again, free of charge. Correct?
Yeah, you can read about the Naxos Music Library on the library's webpage. It's a little news thing on the side. It's something that the music department really wanted us to have, and we've responded to the demand. We're trying to meet your demands here, but we have enjoyed using the Naxos Music Library. For a long time, I always go to, like, when I'm at work or something, I've got the internet, I'll open up a new window and just listen to MySpace and listen to bands and stuff, and it's kind of like just streaming. You can listen to whatever you want to. Well, you can do the same thing on the Naxos Music Library. You can't download music, but you can listen to a lot of music. Most of its content, and you have some of the details, don't you there, Paul?
Right. It covers classical, jazz, world, classic rock, and nostalgia music. And it's close to 50,000 CD-length recordings, which are equivalent to 717,400 tracks have been uploaded.
Yeah.
And in addition to this, there are over 800 CD-length recordings every month added. So it's constantly being added to, and you got all sorts of things from operas, and then you've got information on artists and composers. So it's quite...
It's really a comprehensive source. It doesn't just offer you to listen to the music. You can get some biographical information, some publication information on the music, on the musicians. Really get an educational experience to the world of music.
Absolutely. And one of those artists that is featured on Naxos is something that... someone we have incorporated into this podcast.
Yes, yes.
And that would be Howlin' Wolf.
Howlin' Wolf. Yeah, where is the Howlin' Wolf from?
Howlin' Wolf is from White Station, Mississippi, which is in Clay County, which is not too far from Starkville, Mississippi. So
yeah.
If you've ever headed down 45 and gone to Starkville, you would have passed through Howlin' Wolf's stomping grounds, I guess.
And we're here in West Tennessee, and this particular track that we chose as the backdrop for our podcast was recorded in Memphis, right?
Yeah, this
Sun Records.
The Memphis Sessions.
And so we wanted to give some regional flair to the podcast and some kind of bluesy, upbeat feeling. And I'm feeling it.
That's an oxymoron, don't you think? Bluesy.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, because blues would be. But
this happened to be upbeat. Happy and everybody's in the mood, which is
yeah,
the name of the
song. Right, yeah. And we're in the mood for a podcast. I do want to say, Stephen, congratulations on becoming a father. I think that name, Marie is my mother's name.
Oh.
And but Charlotte, I've always loved the name Charlotte because of Queen Charlotte of Mecklenburg and the kind of Charlotte. Anyway, there's a musical connection too because of this song that I love called Charlotte Sometimes. So I really I'm commending your choice
on
name.
Thank
that's I could not have done a better job myself. It's really beautiful.
Appreciate that.
The Charlotte Bobcats.
Yeah. Charlotte.
Charlotte, North Carolina.
Charlotte, North Carolina was named after Queen Charlotte.
Charlotte Speedway.
Yeah.
Just all sorts of Charlotte words.
It's very English, Charlotte's Web. Yeah. And, we have that here in the library, by the way.
I guess what we're saying is it's a nice name.
It's a
good choice. Good choice.
You've done well,
Thank
Stephen.
You.
Good,
yeah.
good, good
with
choice.
The hours and with your name and with
I appreciate that.
Everything else.
All right. Well, we're going to take a small break, not too long. Don't
and let you hear some Howlin' Wolf.
And right back to Howlin' Wolf. And then we'll be back with a few things that maybe aren't library related, but still something that
They are. I mean, displays and whatnot.
Oh, yeah,
I mean, the library is all about a lot of things.
Come back and find out what displays
and if you
will
want,
be referring to.
Right. And if you want to listen to more Howlin' Wolf, you can do that on the Naxos Music Library, which can be accessed through our databases A to Z page or on my music research guide.
We'll be right back. Sure.
Free of charge.
We're back, and I hope you enjoyed that little bit of Howlin' Wolf. That's an upbeat song. Really like it. So just to reiterate, you can find that whole CD on Naxos Music Library.
But you can't download it.
But you can stream it while you're around a computer.
Yeah.
So it's good stuff. Anyway, right now we want to talk about something that has been going on in the library for a few months, and that's different displays of movies. So we've started that back when TR got here, displaying movies that are in our collection, and we've had different themes. And one of the themes that we have now, which is coinciding with something coming up later in the month, is the Academy Awards.
Yeah.
And we have a display of Best Picture Award winners from years past, and I don't know. How many do we have? About 10 or so out there?
Yeah, there's 11 out there. We have more, but we're just featuring those 11.
And what are some of the movies out there?
Yeah, we've got, the past 2 years, The Hurt Locker won last year. I went to the movies. Did you guys see The Hurt Locker?
No.
No.
Well, what fun are you? I went to the movies to see that, and I was like on the edge of my seat the entire time. It's takes place in Iraq. Really, really intense movie. Really well done. If you can handle it, see that. That won last year. The year before, I believe, Slumdog Millionaire.
Yeah, did see that.
Yeah, you did see that.
Did see that.
What'd you think of that one?
Interesting.
Yeah,
it was good.
Yeah. That they didn't believe the guy because he was from the slums that he could know all this information.
Sure.
You know.
Yeah, but he was a brilliant kid. That was directed by Danny Boyle, who originally was well known for his directing of Trainspotting, which was an overcoming of drug addiction. I don't know if that one was ever nominated for any Academy Awards, although it was an interesting film, to be sure. But Slumdog Millionaire is out there. And then two kind of old classics that won Best Picture. One was Driving Miss Daisy.
Oh, yeah.
Where was that filmed? Do you know?
Well,
it seems like a southern. I think it was in Alabama.
Alabama?
Birmingham?
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to look that up. Yeah. But it had a very southern feel. Morgan Freeman.
Oh, absolutely.
And, kind of, I love that one. And Forrest Gump.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Speaking of Alabama, and I and you just can't help but cry every time you watch Forrest Gump. And I mean, maybe I just get emotional, but I just think he was an interesting guy.
Now, what about the things, the movies that are nominated for Best Picture this year? Have you seen any of those?
Yeah, I have. I'd like to take a step back. I mean, one of the reasons why we wanted to do a film display was when I first got here, I noticed that all of the movies were kind of hidden in the back room, and a lot of our students and even student workers who worked here had no idea that we actually had movies. And I'd like to develop that collection a little bit more, but because we were limited in space, I thought at least by featuring the collection and promoting it, that will be able to make people more aware, hey, you know, we have movies. We have things that you can check out if you need a study break. And so movies are something that are really great that libraries can offer. And all of these have been purchased or asked.
And there's no rental fee.
By the professor. And, of course, there's no rent. It's completely free. If you're a union student, faculty, staff, and have a nice dog tag, which is what they have around here.
But of course, if you're late bringing them back, then...
And so we're trying to make these movie displays... coincide with things that are going on currently. And this right now is probably the best time of the year for film. Because the Academy Awards are coming up and all of the good films have been released and people are trying to make judgments about what was the best of the year and what was the most important movie of the year. And I've seen a few. You know, the King's Speech I saw this weekend. Really, really epic story of George the Sixth, who was able to overcome a speech impediment to inspire the nation of England during World War II, during a national crisis. It's really kind of a motivating story. The Fighter was another motivating story about Christian Bale and Mark Wahlberg. And Mark Wahlberg was they were both boxers, and they were kind of had to overcome some bad things in their background and their past and in their family life to achieve the goal together. Yeah. And it was a really inspiring movie. Amy Adams is also in that.
Who you have a crush on, right?
I can't believe you just said that on the podcast.
Well, I just outed you.
Yeah,
Now, Stephen, didn't you say that earlier you've seen True Grit?
I've seen True Grit, Inception, Social Network.
Wow.
I think those are maybe the only three that I've seen among the
Did you like True
12
Grit?
Nominated. It was all right. It was an interesting story.
Give you an old Western feel.
Yeah, I don't know that I would say it was my favorite movie of the year. My prediction, if you would like a prediction, Social Network, I think, will win Best Picture.
Really?
Social Network.
Okay,
you
heard it
here. It did win the Golden Globe.
You heard it here. I'm on a movie drought. I think the last movie I saw was Secretariat. So how many months ago was that?
The movie or The Race?
I'm old enough to... I do remember watching The Race, actually. That was great. Secretary, what a horse. Anyway.
That's so funny, Paul, because I remember Paul picked me up from the airport when I came to Union to interview, and we had a discussion about movies. And it was one of the things that just sort of made me comfortable about being here and at Union. So, Paul, you need to stay with it.
No,
maybe you'll catch up next year when they all come out on DVD.
Yeah, maybe so. I don't know. I don't know why I'm in a drought right now, but I am. That'll change. Okay. So, you've given us your prediction for... best movie,
Social Network,
and TR, you have any suggestions?
I don't think The Fighter will win, but it was my favorite movie of the year so far.
All right, but no predictions as far as who you think will win.
I probably would if I had to go, I might go with The Social Network. I was going to say The King's Speech,
until you saw it.
I didn't. Yeah, I think this.
But is it one of those Academy type?
It is. It is. And so that has a chance. That has a chance as well.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I don't think True Grit will win. The Coen brothers have won recently for No Country for Old Men. So either The King's Speech or The Social Network. But I wasn't a huge fan of either movie. Yeah. I enjoyed The King's Speech, but didn't connect with it as much as I connected with other things.
Okay. Now, I have a little bit of Academy Award trivia.
Uh-oh.
Oh.
All right. Here we go. Who gave the shortest speech ever at the Academy Awards?
Paul Giamatti. I don't know. I don't have a clue. Do you have a guess, TR?
Dustin Hoffman.
No. You are wrong. It was Alfred Hitchcock.
Oh.
In 1967. And do you know the extent of... You want to guess the extent of his speech?
Thank you.
You got it.
Wow.
That was it.
That's fascinating.
Thank you.
Vertigo was also fascinating.
Yeah.
Mind-blowing.
And that was for... he received the Irving G. Talberg Memorial Award. 1967. Thank you.
For the shortest speech or for a film?
Well... he got the award. It's an, I guess, some...
Okay, some sort of career achievement.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Well, and he just said thank you.
Well, thanks for that, Paul.
Yeah,
that's,
well, you're quite welcome. Wouldn't we be better if they all just kept it short?
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's the 83rd Annual Academy Awards, Sunday, February 27th. And you heard the predictions here. Now, I got one more question. Prediction on the Super Bowl. We got the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Green Bay Packers. Who you got?
Well, I'll start. Like with the Academy Awards, where I predict with my heart, I root for the fighter, I think that my heart is with the Green Bay Packers. I've always loved the small-town market of Green Bay, the way their fans own the team, the way their fan, the cheeseheads, they always rally around their team. Even when they're bad, they're there, their fans love them, and so I'd love to see Green Bay win the Super Bowl. They're a historic, traditional program, so I'm for Green Bay.
Steven?
I think Green Bay is going to get crushed. I think the Steelers will probably win by about 3 touchdowns.
Wow.
The steel curtain.
Wow.
Bold prediction.
Yeah.
I don't particularly have a rooting interest in either team, but just having watched parts of both teams, some games from each team this year, I think it's going to be the Steelers.
Something I just realized, both teams have very blue-collar, working, man-oriented nicknames.
Packers, Steelers.
So I'm hoping the Packers. I'm not a fan of either team,
really. Do
you have
a prediction?
Packers in an upset.
Ooh.
Just to counter your...
Okay.
Huge thing.
All right.
So I say Packers in an upset by a point.
1 point.
1 point. That's
there you go. Two Packers, one Steelers.
I probably won't even watch most of it. Anyway. So, we just want to thank you for listening today. For T.R. Parker, Stephen Mount, Paul Sorrell, we ask that you please come into the library. And we just want you to know that the Emma Waters Summer Library
is where studying every day can help you perform better academically.
Talk to you later.
Thanks for listening.